Blog Talk Radio.
Had to switch it up a little bit because of the title of the show and what this show is about. That's my group Dynasty doing that song, Do Me Right. And I want to say thanks to Dynasty. but if you just listen to those words that they're saying, the girls are saying it like, you know, I'll do all the things you want me to do, but you have to do me right. And I think that most people in most relationships want to feel that they're being treated fairly and that they have a good equal balance in the relationship. And it's not just about one person or the other, but it's about them together as a couple. And so, but we got my buddy Phoenix here that's going to help us out, and we're going to chop it up. What's up, Phoenix?
Hey, man. It's all good in the hood.
It's all good in the hood, man. So how you been, man? It's been a few days. How's everything going for you?
It's been great, man. You know, the changing of the seasons.
Yeah.
It's a good time to mentally transition.
From one
climate to another, and it kind of prepares you, you know, having the seasons, even though Nevada, we don't have the extreme four seasons, but it's been a little cooler, and it's been a nice change of pace. You know, you could put a little jacket on. It's nice.
Yep. That's right. And it's like that around the world, you know. It starts getting colder to me, but, you know, I'm only right here, and it's, you know, I say right here in the United States, and, I mean, I'm in Texas, but it's all kind of different temperatures that happen here in the United States. But when I talk to my friends over, like, in the UK and Amsterdam, they're, like, freezing. You know, I talked to Greg and Astrid, they're like, it's cold. And they were saying it's cold a long time ago. And so I'm like, really? So... yeah,
and I love when the weather's crisp, man. I mean, in New York, which where I hail from, when the fall would come in, man, I used to love the Granny Smith apples or the Macintosh. And just to have a brisk walk, you know, chomping on a crisp apple, it was just so wonderful in the fall to experience that.
I miss
that aspect.
Absolutely. So, so here we go. we're going to chop it up a little bit about this this topic, and I just want to say thanks, man, for always being ready. No matter what I throw at you, you always come back, and you do your best to accommodate the titles of the show and the topics and stuff, and I really appreciate that. Because I knew I just threw this one at you, too, and he's like, okay. I said, okay. So how do you know when there is equality in your relationship? Let's talk about it. Let's chop it up a little bit. How do you know when there's equality in your relationship? And so I could throw something at you real fast, and then Phoenix, you can just jump in when you're ready. But I know that equality in your relationship starts with respect. You know, the R word is really important, because without respect, I don't think you have anything. And so we have to at least start on a fair, you know, at a fair place in our relationship, where I respect your feelings, you respect my feelings, you know, you give me a time to speak, I give you a time to speak. We don't try to talk over each other. We don't yell and scream at each other. I mean, you know, like, because sometimes, you know, I've had, you know, a tantrums like a little child, and I'll raise my voice and I go, whoa, I gotta fix that, or I'm gonna lose my relationship, because that is disrespectful to the other person. And so we really have to pay attention to those little things that mean so much, you know, because the big things are nice and everything, but it's the little things that, you know, that I think, especially people that are that feel disrespected are paying attention to. It's those little things that you do that kind of stick them, you know.
Absolutely.
You ignore them, and you ignore them in the public when your other friends around, and you just kind of ignore them. You know, you're all hanging out with everybody else except for them. Those are big to them. Like, wait a minute, he don't even care that. He don't care, or she doesn't care that I'm here, you know. So respect to me is really the key. And I want you to say something about that. I don't want to, you know, keep talking, but I'm just saying I think it's really important that we remember that. And then I'm gonna share some notes that I created about respect. But go ahead.
Well, one of the things that I found in my research was valuing each other's opinion. And that's a big one, because when you value or devalue, it comes through your body language, like you said, in mixed company. Are you short-tempered? Are you curt? In other words, do you just cut the person off and not allow them to express their opinion? You know, do you agree to disagree? Are you fighting fair? If it is a fight, if it's a battle, you know, they say love is a battlefield. I think one of the great songs of the day in the 80s or so talked about love is a battlefield. So respect really means, and I'm glad that you shifted equality to respect, because equality kind of threw me off, because nothing is equal, I find. You know, women are built differently, men are built differently, and when we interface properly based on the value of respect, now you have a platform to build upon. And it means that you accept somebody for who they are. That's really what it comes down to. I accept you. You accept me. You see my imperfections. I see yours. And in doing so, you build a feeling of trust and overall well-being. So that's the basis, I find, with today's discussion. I'm glad you opened up the margins to incorporate respect, because as mentioned, it did throw me off equally. You know, sometimes all is fair in love and war. It's not always equal. It's not always a level playing field. You know, women experience different things than we do anatomically, physically. You know, they have their monthly visitors. It changes their chemistry. Each woman is different. And I think it's the responsibility of the man to incorporate those changes in a way that demonstrates respect. You know, some women go through pain once a month. Some women, not so much. Some, it alters their overall mood. And if a man is not, like you say, fully aware, he could step on those minefields inadvertently and cause irreparable damage, especially with verbal words that hurt. Words that hurt sometimes are harder to mend than physical abuse. I think that the court systems now are starting to understand verbal abuse is worse, and that comes out of lack of respect. So that's my little two cents on the matter so far my research.
How do a person know when they're in a respectful relationship? And
the way they correlate between each other. I think the inverse is, you know, if you're in mixed company and the person is quick to highlight your short sides and it embarrasses you, you know, they're quick to pick, like you said in the intro, you know, they make you feel ostracized where you're not even in the same room with their friends. Maybe they have relationships that were previous to your relationship and they kind of exclude you in conversations. And they talk about things that you have no concept. Oh, it's a private joke. You wasn't there. You wouldn't know. These undermine and embarrass you in mixed company. It might even be around official people or at your job, or they may be quick to point out your imperfections. Not good.
Right. Absolutely. I know you feel, you know, one of the other ways that you know you have you're in a respectful relationship is you feel safe being around each other when there's respect there. You know it's okay for both of you to express who you are. You know, you can, you know what I'm saying? These are things that I've been writing down. You can do that as an individual in a marriage or a relationship because of your feeling, because you feel respected. In other words, you know, sometimes people don't feel like they can express who they are or how they feel to their partner or to a friend, because that person has dominated them and they have been controlling the relationship, and almost anything they say that's not about them is not important to them. And so when you say something about, well, you know, I'm about yourself, and they're not paying attention, you know that's disrespectful. You know that they're not respecting you. But when you are talking about yourself and your friend or your partner, you know, your husband or wife is listening intently, that means they respect you and they respect the fact that you want to talk about something. And that's so important that we could feel that, because I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that don't want to hear your issue.
Well, I like the fact that you underscored paying attention, because I'm a wordsmith. I've always been accused since I was a kid of being silver-tongued. I've always been told that I've been given the gift of speech, and sometimes my vernacular can throw people off because I've literally been around doctors, lawyers, and Indian chiefs all of my life. My dad was a college professor. Everyone in my family was an English major. And gosh, they would correct you on the littlest things. I mean, you'd say a word and they would break out Webster. Man, you just got beat over the head. And you learned at an early age in my household to speak the King's English, not to use word whiskers, not to stammer or stutter. Say what you mean what you say. But one of the things I find that is a reoccurring theme sometimes in a disrespectful or a disproportionate relationship is this expression, well, don't judge. I don't judge. Okay. And when you say those things, you set up the war cry. You set up the dissension, because when you pay attention to words, when you use derogatory expressions about your associates or business partners, it's a form of judging. When you know, I was taught never to call somebody out their name. That's why I don't use profanity, and I don't like it I usually, when my buddies are around me, they kind of curb profanity, especially the F-bomb. I'm really big about the F-bomb because of its transliteration. It really means fornication under Christ the King, which is really powerful, which is why that word is very strong when used. But today people use it liberally, almost like, you know, it's something that is a badge of courage. It's a great thing. But when you judge somebody and you say something out of character, maybe it's their sexual orientation, you may have a personal viewpoint. But when you step out on the ledge and you speak about those things, or when you judge someone and you call them out of their name, outside of their government name, that's what we're saying here, inadvertently judge them. And when somebody like myself that pays attention to the details, I'm a musician. I always tell people I'm a musician. I'm not a magician. Huge difference. Musicians pay attention to symbols. They pay attention to patterns. Okay, this is a chord progression that's going to change the chemistry of the song. This is in the key of E major or E minor. This is melancholy. This is upbeat. We pay attention to these things. And when I'm in conversations, I can't help but keeping a sort of mental note about certain things that are said. And I don't always bring them up because I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's necessary to correct your partner for everything that they do. But sometimes when things become insurmountable, and this is where respect plays an important role. You know, I call them footnotes. You say, well, you know, you were disrespectful. What makes you say that? And then you need to back up. Well, I don't want to go back donkey years, but yesterday something was said in mixed company, and I wanted to bring that to your attention, and I didn't want to say it around the kids or our friends. But if we could somehow omit those conversations towards each other. I was personally offended when you said, oh, I didn't realize that. You know what? I'm sorry if I offended you. And I'll make a mental note and I'll make sure that I never say that again. That's when it's positive. But when it's declassified or it's just, you're just sensitive. Oh, you know, that's just who you are. That could be a form of disrespect. And
totally.
We have to be careful. We really need, as you mentioned, to be honorable. In our intentions towards one another, you know.
Absolutely. That's a great point, and thank you for expressing that to us. I want to read a question from my listener. Is there a default in every relationship, meaning that one is naturally more dominant?
It can be. I mean, we're human. And in today's market, you know, and I always blame it on the music because, you know, not to point fingers, but we have your Cardi B's, your Nicki Minaj's, and, you know, we have certain ones that have dominated the market with their verbiage. And it has changed the complexion or the social mores of today. And so women are taking a much more bolder stance than they have in the past because of the music. The music affects us. So to answer the question in a roundabout way, yes, one can be more dominant than the other. And that's not a bad thing. I mean, there's nothing wrong in giving your partner the right of way, giving them the opportunity to freely express themselves. That shows respect. But what we're talking about today is when it goes above and beyond the boundaries. When your partner feels demeaned somehow. And I think it's appropriate, you know, because we're not always aware of it, as I mentioned earlier, to do it in a way, hey, can we talk about something that occurred yesterday? Now's not a good time. Okay, maybe after dinner, after the kids, or after we walk the dogs, or whatever. Okay, such and so was said, and I took offense when this was said. And give them the opportunity to express, well, I didn't mean it that way. Maybe you took it the wrong way, and that's possible. So, yes, we can rectify, even though one might take a dominant role. That's okay. it might be the male or it might be the female, as long as it doesn't cross boundaries where the person feels subservient or demeaned by that, it's okay. The woman can be, she can be assertive. She can take a stronger role. Some men are just passive aggressive. I know a lot of my buddies, man, they're not as communicative. They always tell me, oh, you know, Phoenix, you know, you're emotional. And I said, no, I buried both of my parents and I never dropped a tear. It's not emotional. It's that I'm emotionally available. I am willing as a man to talk about the sensitivities or proclivities of how I feel. And I'm always willing. I'm the type of man that I believe, and maybe it's because of the way I was raised, my dad was never complimentary to my mom. So with my wife, I constantly let her know that I appreciate her. I constantly let her know, wow, I love that outfit. That looks beautiful on you. A compliment. Like James Ingram says, find 100 ways. I totally believe in that. And I don't, you know, sometimes they say, oh, you're flattering me. And I said, well, no, because if you look up the word flattery is a form of lying. So we don't want to be flowery and we don't want to compliment if that's not how we feel. I don't want to be like the woman at the dress shop and the woman tries on the dress and she knows it looks horrible, but she wants to make the sale. Oh, that looks gorgeous on you. And then as soon as she leaves, oh my God, she looked like a pig in a blanket. You know, no, your compliments should be sincere. And they should be based on truth, or else it forms into the line of flattery, which is a lie. So, yes, we want to compliment one another. And, yes, we want to allow dominance to prevail in either case, as long as it doesn't cross boundaries.
You know, I want to also remind our listeners that respect, another form of respect is submission. And a lot of times the way that, you know, our culture has it is that most of the time women are the ones that are submissive to their husbands. But, you know, from a biblical point of view, we are supposed to be submissive to each other. And if you are not with a mate, you're submissive to the Lord. And so, because you're going to be submissive to somebody, whether you want to or not.
Your boss, your job, your time, your dog, your cat.
Right? Exactly. So being submissive is really important when it comes down to, you know, your relationship. And one of the listeners wrote this right before I mentioned that. He said, we talk about red flags in relationships, but what about the white flags, the times when I should be submissive to compromise? You know, and that's, I mean, we do have to be ready to know. Like, for instance, if you're getting in, if somebody mentions something to you, you know, I really want to talk to you about what, like you were saying last night, you've mentioned something and it really kind of threw me and it made me feel uncomfortable. And then at that point, the person says, okay, what is it? And said, well, I don't want to talk about it right now, but I just wanted to mention, well, no, you brought it up. We need to talk about it. No, hold on. You need to relax because that person he just mentioned it and said, but, you know, just be respectful to them. Say, listen, I brought it up so we can talk about it later. Right now, I'm not ready to do that. And so, I think that's the compromise. You have to be submissive to compromise. You have to be ready to give in and not make it always about you.
Well, if I might, you know, popped in my head, and you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve. If I might dive into the deeper end of the ocean and talk about sex as opposed to making love. You know, the act of making love is being submissive, is being willing to please your partner. If you go in and all you're thinking about is pleasing yourself, you're having sex, but But if you go in with the idea that I want to please my partner, you're making love. To make love is to be submissive, is to be willing to share your body with another person that you love. And that should be the premise. And so, yes, I totally agree. You know, there are certain social mores, like with men, when we hear the word submissive, we cringe. We get white knuckled because they're like, oh, I'm not submissive, submitting to her. And those are old values, you know, to be submissive. Even Jesus showed the ability to be submissive and wash the feet of his disciples. And there were some that kind of, they were. To be submissive is a beautiful thing if your intentions are in tow. And I will say that again, if your intentions are in tow. When you do it in the spirit of mildness, when you do it in the spirit of self-control, when you do it in the spirit of placing the needs of your partner, maybe your partner doesn't want to engage that way. And if you are submissive, you won't force the issue. You'll put yourself in neutral and you'll say, well, how about a back rub, a back massage, with no intentions of going further. That shows that you love that person. Similar to a mother and a child, a mother loves a child and she's willing to submit to the needs of her child. And then not to put a relationship in a child-adult mode, but sometimes you got to shift it in neutral, fellas. You got to understand the rules of engagement. And that's a part of respect, because you never know what maybe the mental framework of that individual. You don't know the kind of day that they may have suffered at the workplace. You don't know chemically what's going on. With my past wife, I didn't know that she was experiencing dementia. I'll be honest with you, I fell short. I thought that she was being a hypochondriac. Ah, you're always complaining. And she said, no, there's just something going on with me. I don't know, but I feel different. It turned out that she had advanced stages of dementia. And I tell you, if I had a do-over, that I would ask to do over again, to be a little more sympathetic, to be a little more submissive to what she was telling me. We were together for many years. I didn't know that she was being ravished by this silent killer called dementia. It's a terrible, terrible illness that kind of eats away their brain and they just kind of lose certain things. It's at this point she doesn't even know who I am anymore. She doesn't even know my name anymore. And just bringing it up makes me feel remiss, because I could have done a better job. I could have been more submissive. Mm-hmm. I did well on the other scorecards. I used to take care of her in various ways, cook, clean, manage her hair, cut her fingernails, do whatever. But I could have been a little bit more submissive to what she was going through. I just didn't think, I thought she was being a hypochondriac. So here's an example, falling back, shifting into neutral. You know, it's not always about what you think. It's not always about your interpretation. Like I hear that always with scripture, well, that's your interpretation. I said, no, God's word is already interpreted. You either understand it or you don't. And that's the same with the relationship. It's not about you interpreting your partner. You either understand them or you don't.
You either respect them or you don't. And that's the key. I mean, we have to get to that point.
Well, understanding is a component of respect. What I'm saying is, you know, you can't respect somebody if you don't understand them.
But you can't understand them if you don't. And vice versa, you can't respect
them. Yes, absolutely.
You can't understand people sometimes if you don't respect them. You have to give them the opportunity to express their feelings.
They work in tandem. You know, right. To understand is to respect is to understand. You can't kind of have one without the other. You know, one hand washes the other, and they both wash the face. They work in tandem. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying omit one from the other. No, I'm saying they work in tandem. They work together.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. I agree with that 100%. Well, you know, I just want you to know that, you know, it's a blessing to have this conversation, because so many of people that I know have been going through a very difficult time with, you know, just trying to communicate with their loved one and not knowing how to. And some people, like I said, just submit to, okay, I guess what I feel and what I'm going through is not important, but I love them anyway, and I'm going to stay there. And that's terrible, because sometimes you people, it's like, wait a minute, you are in an abusive relationship. You're being disrespected, and you don't even know it. You don't, you're, because that abnormal all of a sudden became your norm. You gotta be careful.
Very true.
Yeah, you gotta be careful with that. And so that's why I said, you know, oh man, I'm trying to get back to my notes here. I don't know. I need to get a better way of making my notes pop up. Okay, here we go. So I wanted to just read something else to you. You said, like for instance, when people are they're yelling at each other, don't talk over each other, you know, it's so disrespectful when people are trying to communicate, but they're not really listening to each other, almost like our politicians. They don't like each other because they never listen to each other. All they do is yell, and all they do is care about their point of view, and they're not even trying to hear why. Why did you come to that conclusion? Why do you feel that way? Why are you hurting? Why do you want to move forward? Why are you not happy? You know what? We got to know the answer to that. Well, this is why.
You know what I was thinking?
This is why.
You know what I was thinking, Wardell? It's like, if you ever watch someone play double dutch and they're swinging the rope, if you notice, the person who's going to jump in pays attention to the rhythm of the rope. They just don't jump in because it'll hit your ankle or hit your neck. It's all about timing. And you're absolutely right. If you're already thinking of your rebuttal, of what you've already got the hammer behind your head like Bugs Bunny, and you didn't listen to what the person said, you're more interested in what you have to say in your rebuttal than you are in terms of absorbing what they say. And a good footnote is, you know that is so when your answer doesn't address what they said. When you enter a totally different topic and the person is saying, you know, last night you said something to offend me, you should be addressing what they said. But if you have the proverbial mallet behind your head, like the Bugs Bunny cartoon, and you're ready to stomp them out from the Acme tool company, then you didn't listen to what they said, and you didn't address their concern. And what that means is you're self-serving, and you're eroding at the fabric of respect and understanding. Because when you understand somebody, you catch the ball, and you say, you know what? I had no idea. And I just want to say, first of all, if I did that to you, apologize. Here's the word seldom used. I'm sorry. I'm truly sorry that I offended you. And from this point forward, hey, nudge me, kick me under the table, give me the eye, so the stink eye, whatever you need to do, because sometimes I'm not aware. I'm imperfect. But I'm going to make sure from this point forward. So the point is, timing, like double dutch, listening. Don't enter a new topic of discussion. Address what your partner just said. Don't talk over them. Caress what they said. And these become the building blocks of a relationship that makes someone disarmed. They put their down. It's no longer a fight. It's like, okay, I appreciate that.
Absolutely. We can't. You definitely want to be in a place of disarmed. You don't want to be in a place of I'm ready to fight this one out, because that's not really what it's about. It's about figuring this out. It's about loving each other through the issues and working on it together in love. And if we try to do more things in love, we will end up in a much better place. But we have to we got to put love first. You got to have it. You got to have that respect for that other person, even if you don't like what they're talking about, what they're doing, what they're going
through. And I'll be honest with you, you know, this takes a skill set. We're scratching the surface here, but it's easier said than done, because when you're armed and extremely dangerous, your mindset is different. But when you put the weapon down from the Acme company, like Warner Brothers in the cartoons, and you disarm yourself, take a breath. Sometimes you might need to take a leap. Just say, give me a minute, and let me just walk outside and take a breath. I want to continue this conversation, but I want cooler heads to prevail. That might be necessary, depending upon who you are, where you're at.
Right, I know.
For myself, I'm an older, matured person, and I've been through some of these stumbling blocks in the past. I had very good parents, but I used to observe their arguments. And I always felt that my dad could have been a little bit more accommodating to my mother. My mother never cussed and fussed. She never raised her voice. She was always willing to hear outside. I remember my mom used to listen to the dumbest stories that I would tell her, that I, you know, making spitballs in the classroom and shooting them at the teacher. And my mom would say, oh, really? And you did what? You shot a spitball through the straw? She says, you know, you're very smart if you use that ingenuity elsewhere. She was always willing to give me the positive end. But then she would conclude. She said, well, your dad's on his way home, and he doesn't have a sense of humor. He's probably going to use some corporal, you know, corporal punishment here. And my dad used to tell me, you want it now or later, I'm going to tear your backside up.
Yep,
go get the weapon, bring
that
it to me, pull your pants down, lean over. I mean, he had to humiliate you.
Yep, that's right.
My mom was always willing to see the good side, and I'm so glad that I adopted that quality that she had.
Amen.
You know?
That's good. Listen, I'm going to bring in a female, a friend of mine. Amanda, are you there?
I'm here.
Now, I want to just tell you guys a little bit about her. And she wrote a blog earlier. I saw the blog that she wrote earlier, I should say. I'm not sure when you wrote it, but she wrote this blog earlier about respect. And I read it, and I was like, whoa, I need to talk to her. And so I called her, and we did talk, and we had a great conversation about respect in a relationship. So, Amanda, you know, why don't you share a little bit about, you know, what you were saying, unless you is something else you want to say, because I guess you've been listening to the show.
Yeah, I've been listening for a little bit. I didn't catch the whole show, but I've been listening for a little bit. And something that I think is a couple things that I – can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. A couple things that I believe are super critical in this topic is if we are having issues in a relationship with respect or conflict, if we can catch our emotions in the moment and connect with that person in the moment, it really does help us to let them know how we're feeling in a more vulnerable state, versus if we wait and we let these things build up, we are very angry. So when we finally break, we come at them very angry, loud, you know, intense, and then that's how they return to us, or they just completely shut down. And so we don't really move the relationship forward. So I really believe that being vulnerable is letting the person know you're hurting in the moment, because that can really soften the whole dynamic of the relationship. And I speak from my own experience, especially in my own marriage. You know, as a female, I learned from a young age to just be fine and to be tough and to not need anyone. And so for me to say I'm hurt is very hard. I'd much rather kind of collect things and be fine, but then eventually you can only do that for so long before you're angry. And so I have learned how to say, you know, to a friend or family member or my husband, you know, you just said this and that was hurtful to me because, you know, it made me feel this way or it made me think this. And when I do that in the moment, it's just a lot softer.
Right. Now, I
appreciate that. That is definitely a finer point that I want to congratulate you because you've been able to pierce the veil, so to speak, because sometimes we deal with black and white issues, but sometimes it's a gray area. And if, like you say, we allow this feeling to overtake us and we build it up, by the time we pressure release, we regurgitate on the, and they don't even understand where it's all coming from. And they sometimes
they
have no
remember,
other recourse.
Yeah.
Yeah, they have no other recourse but to retaliate. And then at the smoke clears, you say, I wish cooler heads would have prevailed. And so I really appreciate that's a finer point that really, to me, I've learned something in what you said because, you know, as a man, sometimes the hardest thing for us to say is I feel vulnerable. You know, I feel, I feel hurt. And sometimes men feel like that's somehow, you know, taking away from their masculinity. But I'm here to tell you, as a man that's outspoken with his emotional content, that it isn't necessarily so. I think it shows strength on a man's part to say, first and foremost, I love you. You said this. I feel hurt. Can we talk about it? Is it a good time? I always ask, is it a good time? Because sometimes it's not a good time. Just because you want to talk about something, it may not be a good time for them.
Let me just ask you this. When you say, I'm talking about your post, Amanda, that you posted. You said respect is mutual. It cannot work one way. Someone can treat you with respect while having respect, by having no respect for you. Well, I mean, does that happen in a relationship, intimate relationship as well, or are you just speaking in general?
Well, I mean, my focus on that post specifically, I think it applies to all relationships, but I was specifically posting about parents and teenagers, meaning, you know, that was the relationship dynamic that I was focusing on. But I also do believe that, you know, you can treat people, anyone can go along respectfully with just about anything. But that doesn't mean that the relationship is rooted in respect. It just means they know how to say, yes, sir, thank you, sir, and move along. But how do you make sure you're connected and that you know that the mutual respect is there? And that is by connecting emotionally so that you know you're seen, you're heard, you're valued, you're accepted versus just, you know, two people going about their day, going along polite and respectfully with someone, but there's no root of respect anywhere to be found because there's just no connection to build that respect.
Right.
Once again, that's a beautifully finer lined point that I think pierces the veil. Once again, sometimes we deal with situations topically, and a lot of times feelings get hurt because we don't understand the root as to where all – sometimes people will say, I don't know where all this is coming from. And it addresses what you said earlier. It's been building up. Unfortunately, this person has been building up this feeling. They didn't allow the pressure release. And then when they do come at you, they have this emotional avalanche, and the person gets hit, and then they retaliate. And then now you're in – everything that you wanted to rectify, you've undermined. And so, yes, that's a beautifully illustrated idea, to, especially in the dynamic of a parent and a child, because the number one thing that many times children feel is that they're not being respected by their parents. So then they go to the gang leaders. They go to the drug lords. Yeah. They go to the loudmouth one at the school who's popular, whose agenda is diametrically opposed to the parents' point of view, and the child gets caught up in this undercurrent of negativity, and before you know it, either they're arrested, they're drugged out or they're turned out, and it becomes the parent's nightmare. So some beautiful finer points.
I have a question from a listener for both of you. This is the question. Amanda, we'll let you go first, and then Phoenix follow up. Without validation in a relationship, does the result of one partner feeling lonely, so is that why people have affairs?
Wow.
Can you read it one more time?
Okay. Without validation in a relationship, does the result in one partner feeling lonely So is that why people have affairs?
I think people have affairs for multiple reasons. I mean, there's things in their childhood. If one of their parents did it, they're more likely to do it. There's addiction. I mean, there's multiple reasons why. I don't know that you could specifically, come up with a formula that definitely equals an affair. But, I would say that loneliness and validation are real feelings that are felt a lot in marriages, and that it's hard. What I feel is hard is that, like, for me, I wanted to work on myself before my spouse did. And so you go do that work, and for me it was, getting into therapy and really wanting to learn more about myself. And you only hope that, like, maybe they'll do that someday, but they might not, And so the tricky part is, how do we learn to feel our validation and our worthiness from God alone so that we're not
dependent,
looking for it from our spouse? Because that's not why God created marriage, and it's not what the purpose of it is.
Right.
And people look at marriage and they say, oh, marriage is this, and it's beautiful, and it's fun, and it's going to be all these great things. But I heard one time, and it was so beautiful, I thought, is we should look at marriage and say, one sinner marries another sinner, and we're going to work through this world and this life together. But
mm-hmm.
it's not that you complete me and, you give me all my validation and things like that, because it's just not
correct.
It's impossible. We can't get our wholeness from a human.
Mm.
And to add to that, we don't want to make an excuse for somebody's transgressions. I like the fact that you went to the past, you went to social experiences, parental guidance, observations of the past. When you validate or you justify your transgression because you were looking for this impossible validation from someone else,
yes,
when in effect it should have come from you, you are denying what the true marriage, when people say richer for poorer, for better, for work, for sickness and in health, I think they gloss over it and they say these things by rote, but they're not digesting the meaning of what's being said.
Yeah.
When you accept
right.
someone, when you accept them and you take them in, you're saying, I accept your imperfections and I hope you accept mine. I'm not looking for your validations. I tell people, the only one who can judge me is God. Maybe it's because I'm older now. I don't need validation from external sources. I think I have an understanding firmly of who I am. I didn't come into my marriage to look to be validated. And I definitely believe in the concept of marriage. Even when I was divorced for 4 years, a lot of people found it strange. I would not engage in any sexual. That's just my personal inference, my personal understanding of what the marital commitment was. I took that time to go deep and find out who I was. And I only believe in sex when there's marriage, because that's what God originally intended. My personal opinion. Some people feel differently, and that's okay. But I found that when you base your relationship on love and not sex, you set yourself up for a better outcome. You know, when you're looking to only satisfy your needs, and I have a lot of my buddies that do that on a regular, and then they come back to me feeling so dissatisfied, and I'm saying, well, that's kind of what you bought into. You know, you spread yourself thin, and now you feel dissatisfied because you've never really committed to love. And that's all God ever, and he said, what I've yoked together, let nobody tear apart. And I took that very seriously. And so these are just stations in life that you arrive at and you understand, or you arrive at them and you have conflict and you need to work them out.
There you
personally,
go.
Personally, that's how I feel.
I want to, we have a few more minutes left in the show. So I want to, Amanda, is there anything you would like to say in closing in terms of, you know, any advice that, you know, or any thoughts?
I think I would want to encourage every listener to think about all the things they've heard today and look at it through the lens of self only. I think just as humans, we tend to just assume it's always about someone else. It's hard to look at ourselves and it's hard to find and dig for our weaknesses. But, you know, Scripture says we're made strong when we are weak, and that is because we do know our need for Christ when we know our weaknesses. Without knowing that, we don't really know that we need him. I mean, we say we need him, but it's like, in what ways do you need him? Well, if you know yourself, then you can say, like, man, this is my struggle. As a human, my sinful nature bends toward these things, and that's how I know that I need him. So I'll talk to family, I'll talk to friends, and they'll, you know, hear about my post, and I know them well, so I'm sitting there knowing the things that they struggle with in their relationships because they've shared with me, and they never do think about themselves. They say, oh, yes, that is spot on. That is spot on. And, you know, they're thinking about other people. But I want to encourage, that's how we, it's hard to move the needle when we can't see ourselves in these hard topics. So I would just want to encourage people to, instead of saying, oh, yeah, that's so true, instead of jumping to that, maybe just say, like just kind of stir on it for a minute in your own life before your mind quickly leaves yourself and starts to think about, you know, all the people that you wish would read that post or that you wish would listen to this show. It's like, what does God have for you in the fact that he led you to this show today or you to the post that you read or, you know, just try to stay focused on the self. And so you can be curious because that's the only way that we learn and grow is through curiosity.
I want to, Phoenix, one second, just real quick. I just got a question for her through what she was saying. So let me just get that, and then I want you to close out, Phoenix. But it said, the question from the listener said, should we all try to communicate with a higher level of intimacy?
Yes, I think we should all try to communicate with a higher level of understanding, acceptance, and coming from a place of I versus coming from a place of you. So if you're going to communicate with someone, if you talk about you, if you just say, I'm feeling this, you know, I'm feeling this, I'm sensing this, it's really hard to stay upset with someone when they're just telling you about themselves and how they're hurting. But if they come at you with a bunch of, you said this and you did that and you're the reason why I am mean to you, well, then that is going to make them less likely to have compassion and connection because it's a defensive statement. So I would say always try and use the word I when having these hard conversations. I always say if you want someone to listen to you and know about you, tell them about you instead of telling them about them because that's the only way they're going to know how you're feeling. And so just try to stick to I.
Okay.
That's interesting. It's interesting because I always, you know, I've used the expression, sometimes you have an I problem, the inverse of that, which could be cautionary. You know, when you're I, and you don't say we or us, you make it exclusive and not inclusive. And so we have to be careful that we don't exclude the person that we're trying to communicate with. And being a marriage counselor, many times I've asked the opposing side when they get to, well, she did or he did. And I said, well, what do you think has brought you here today? And before you answer that, what do you feel you have personally contributed to bring you here today? And when somebody takes responsibility for their actions, I found, in a positive way, it's allow the other person to let a little steam out and say, wow, okay,
yes.
They're validating what they have done. Because when you point
yes.
the finger and you're in a relationship and all you, you know, you cooked this and you said this, and now the person is not hearing anything you have to say. But if you come and say, you know what, honey, I've been a little trigger. I know for me, when I was working out, those endorphins, I've been taking these pills. Please forgive me. You know, they really bring out a bad side of me, and I'm not justifying it, but I realize that I feel differently when I take these supplements. Sometimes they have an adverse effect. And if I came across crude or indifferent, I truly apologize. And so now there's a basis for repairing, as opposed to pointing the finger never works. It just doesn't.
Right.
There you go. I want to just remind people that, you know, we also in this respect thing, we need to remember to have self-respect as well. You know, you matter. And when you have respect for yourself, you remember that I am valued and I matter. So that's important as a foundation when you are talking to someone else, because you will remember that they have those same exact feelings and they matter and they deserve respect as well. So we can start with, you know, that just respecting each other. I think we all have a better relationship, not just with our mates, but with our friends and family. So we are out of time here, but I am so appreciative of you guys coming on and being a blessing to us here on Solar Records Radio. Thank you, Amanda. You just spontaneously responded and called in, and I do appreciate that. I know you're a busy lady doing your thing as well. And Phoenix, always, thank you so much. You're here all the time. So thank you.
Yeah, I wanted to thank Amanda
thank you
personally
for having
because
me.
I thought you really brought some grayer areas, fine points that they typically are not discussed, you know. And for our listeners, you know, really taking in, you know, and digesting it from your personal vantage point is a beautiful statement, because it, when you're empowered to make a change and you have the instructional manual for you, whether that be God's Word, the Bible, or radio shows such as this, then and only then can you be in a reparative mode and fix it, as opposed to just putting a Band-Aid over it and glossing over the subject.
Yes.
So beautifully stated.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah,
thank you.
Yeah.
And thank you all so much. Thanks for having me. I really enjoyed getting to talk to you guys, and I appreciate you listening.
Hey, and keep on writing those wonderful posts that you do. Those are those blogs. Those are awesome. Keep on doing a good job like that. Thank you for being a blessing to all of us. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
All right. So we're getting ready to go to another segment, and thanks, you know, so much again to my brothers and sisters for blessing us all. We'll be right back right after this. Thanks, guys.
All right.
Thank you.
Missing is your morning kiss.
Guys, putting it down here on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. And thanks so much for tuning in, joining us today here on Solar Records Radio. Miranda, Kurt, and my brother Phoenix, great conversation we had today. And I really appreciate that. It's all about that respect, y'all. Respecting one another so we can get along, right? We got to get along. Come on. Let's do what we got to do. And so with that being said, I want to tell you guys, I have a new single coming out, and I'm so grateful. Linda Carrier is being featured as a lead singer on the song. It's, Linda is from Dynasty, the group Dynasty. And, of course, Greg's doing the artwork, of course, my brother, who I stress out all the time. Actually, to tell the truth, he stresses me out because he's doing so much. He does so many things. I mean, he needs to take a break. He needs a vacation. That brother, man, I mean, he just has stuff coming at you left and right. Got this done, got this done, got this. I'm like, what? And so, yeah, his brain needs a break. But thanks, Greg. Much love, man. We appreciate you, man. I appreciate you for sure. That's my brother for sure. And also, we want to give Astrid's youngest son a happy birthday wish. Happy, happy birthday, my brother. And you are one handsome young man. And we wish you all the best. And hopefully you enjoyed your day. I know it's pretty late over there now. So, but you work at night anyway, I heard. So you should be up and partying, right? So anyway, I hope you have a good birthday, and we just wish you all the best, man, and many, 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 many more. And whoo, man, that's something else. These kids are growing up, right? We're getting old, man. They're gonna be taking our place real soon. That's crazy. But anyway, so we're going to be mixing up. Don Fleming was here a minute ago, and he just stepped out, but we are getting ready to mix it up here on Solar Records Radio, and I'm so excited. I'm so excited. So what we do here on Solar Records Radio on Tuesdays, when we start mixing it up, that means that we're playing all kinds of music. And so everything that we play throughout the whole week here on Solar Records Radio, whether it's praise and worship, or it's jazz, R&B, soul, pop, whatever, dance, whatever, you know, it is, we play it. And so you'll, you know, inspirational. It's just, you know, we play what we play. All right, so we're going to mix it all up in just 1 hour here. Well, 52 minutes now. Just finished listening to Karen doing her thing. Then tomorrow, whoa, we got a nice little show for you tomorrow. Tune in for Indie Jazz Day. I'll give you an update as to who will be there. All right, guys. So, and always follow Greg because he's always posting stuff. He knows before most people. He just, all of a sudden, we see what's happening the next day right in the middle of the show. He's good at doing that. So, come on, guys. Thank you for tuning in, and let's get going. Let's get the boat rolling here. Well, not the boat, but the skate.
Fine ass up in the tower. The way you move like you do, ooh, it's like you do. We'll see. at you and wonder why would you even wanna stay? When all they do is lie to you, make you cry every other day. Whoa. How many times have you said I'll be damned before I take him back? Yeah. But then you take him back again. With this flame,
why
you keep letting them play these games?
Oh,
I see a predicament and I ask myself why you won't cut him off and forget him?
Why
won't you ever learn your lesson?
Oh,
every time I look at your predicament, ask myself why. Yes, you so bad, shouldn't have to go through this. I guess I wouldn't feel this way if you and me never ever kissed. No, I know we said we would never bring that up. That was a mistake. Ooh, we're attracted to each other, but you.
Why would you be in a relationship like that if you know it's no good for you, right? Some of us do. It is what it is. And we either learn or we don't. And that's why it's so important to pay attention. And because that thing that's so wrong, if you don't fix it in the beginning, it'll become your norm. And before you know it, you won't even understand what people are talking about because you're so used to being treated wrong. That's a terrible thing. Terrible thing. What a beautiful song, LaBelle. Man, we had him on the show, and he's just a beautiful brother, beautiful spirit. And thank my associate producer, Greg, for bringing him to the show. And so you know, I'm in this mood because today is also a birthday of the owner, the creator of Solar Records, which is Dick Griffey. And so we want to wish him a heavenly birthday as well. And another Scorpio. And so is Carrie Lucas. So is Carrie Lucas. Let's get that correct. And so am I. We all family. Astrid Sun, Scorpio, see? We all family. Anyway, so we want to, you know, wish Dick a wonderful, wonderful birthday and thank him for giving me the opportunity to even come up with the name Solar Records Radio. He was the one that came up with Solar Records. And I was fortunate enough to be able to play and be his drummer starting in 1979. And a nice six-year run to 1985. Then I left and went to A&M Records. But it was good. It was good. It was the beginning, and the beat goes on second time around. That's where it all started for me, and it just kept on going, man. It was wonderful. It's a love thing in the raw. Keep on loving me. Friends, you know, on top of the world. There it is. Then Dynasty, I've just begun to love you. Do me right. Love in the Fast Lane. Carrie Lucas. Oh, man, had so much fun playing on these records and just being a part of an amazing journey that Dick Griffey created for all of us. So our hats off to you, our brother. Thank you for following your dream and blessing all of us in the process. So, with that being said, I'm going to play one of those songs that I had so much fun doing with Mr. Dick Griffey and the Whispers and Solar. Here you go, Rachel.
Can't fake it. Don't see what. nowhere to run, nowhere to hide from what you really are inside. You never gain from telling lies. The truth wears no disguise.
It's the rock.
That's the only way to find out. They're looking love for years. They waste the time, so many tears, to make sure love on solid ground. You've got to break it down.
Here's the rock.
That's the only way to find out. Ooh, ooh.
Ooh, here's the rock.
So let's break it down to the real thing. Will you look at me, but only see what's on the surface? And I might just be with you, except me. There's that possibility. Just keep away your thoughts and only speak what's on your mind. Cause whatever I tell you, you know it from the heart, and that's the bottom line.
It's wrong.
So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair of gold. started when I was 9 years old. Woke up and daddy was gone. I started hustling and they couldn't tell me nothing. Running in the hood trying to be somebody. My soul was on empty. I was searching for something. Tried to be good. Tried to keep from trouble. Living too fast. Trying to make good on the hustle. Sometimes it get rough.
Coming from my upfront.
Times got hard. Wasn't really looking, guess I found it. 5'3", light brown skin. Coming from the university. Nighttime looking kinda lovely. Didn't know she had much pain. Down the ride out, even take the train. Even take her to a poker game. Top notch, fried chicken and sushi. Try to be good. Try to treat you like a lady. Try to be a friend. Turned out that you were shady. But time to get lonely.
Coming from where I'm from.
Don't think what they seem to be.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get a little angry.
Coming from where I'm from.
Time to get the best of me.
Wardell, that was music from Anthony Hamilton. That is a classic, you know, something from 2003 that's considered a classic now. That's coming from where I'm from, man. I had to go in Goldie stash on that one, man. That was a nice one.
Mm.
I have that album. That's a great album.
I was like, man, that is funky. I haven't heard that one before. That's good. That comes from, what was that called?
That's coming from where I'm from, Anthony Hamilton.
No wonder you can hear me. My mic was way over there. I'm sorry, man. Coming from where I'm from, yeah, that's good. I love it. I love it. And, of course, you guys know I was jamming my song Just to Be Close to You. Oh, man, Sharon Klein putting it down on Solar Records Radio. And we started it off with In the Raw by The Whispers, dedicated to Mr. Dick Griffey on his birthday.
Yes, happy birthday. Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Boy, I bet he's like, I'm glad I can't hear that. Singing terrible.
That's
anyway,
funny.
Hey, man. So, yeah, let's chop it up a little bit tomorrow. I'm in the mood to sing, man. What's going on? So I have an amazing bass player coming on tomorrow. You guys got to tune in. Oh, Mr. Eric EQ Young is coming on. Now, Eric has been around for a long time in the business. So you guys got to tune in because you're going to find out who this guy has played with. And he's played with a lot of people, but he's mainly been with one old school band for a long time. And they are on the road all the time. And he just went to a different artist after 20-something years with being with one artist. So I want y'all to tune in and hear this man's story. He is a bad boy. He really kind of takes over. When he's on that stage, he's driving the groove with that bass. So I'm excited about our guest tomorrow. And so, Don, I'm just excited about all these artists we get on here. And I just got another message from another artist that wants to come on and do an interview with us. So, man, it's just blowing up. I'm excited, man. I hope that we can be a blessing to more artists. You know, you guys want to come on and, you know, be interviewed by either Don or myself, call. I mean, you can email us at solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. And, you know, and let us know what you want to do. Send your music, MP3s.
Okay,
we'll get back to you. Make sure you get your information to us, and make sure you put, your emailing us in regards to an interview. All right, so we can get you going real quick here. So anyway, Don, what else is happening, man?
Well, man, I know the crazy thing about being on here is getting a chance to just absorb all of the knowledge of all of the guests that we've had. I was just able to just listen. I try not to bogart the conversation and make this about me and things, because that's never my intention. I think, you know, for especially new artists, man, you know, new artists, you know, I got a chance to talk with Carlita Duran and of course, Miss Carrie Taylor, and just a lot of just great music that's out there and great artists that's, you know, making that authentic soul music that you know, people just yearn to hear. And to have an outlet like this, I think that, you know, that is it's just amazing. And it's I'm forever, you know, amazed by the talent and you know, your interview skills that I'm learning. You know, I'm learning how to interview through you, and you know, getting better at the craft. And no, seriously, I think you know, just having, there's a certain humbleness, you know, humility, humbleness, whatever, that you have when you're talking to people, and it's genuine and it comes through, it broadcasts through. And again, I want to make that artist, you know, the artist want to call and you know, if they got some new music, come on out here, come on the show, and we want to give you your flowers while you're here. And I, you know, I don't want to feel like I'm babbling and ranting, but I just wanted to just say that, you know, this is a great, I feel that this, and I'm not tooting my horn or tooting your horn or whatever, I just think this is a great platform to do that, and it's only getting better. So
absolutely,
that's my 2 cents.
There you go. It's a good 2 cents. I'll spend it. And I want to tell you guys, okay, Compunction. That's who he's been with for 20-something years, Compunction. And so you got to come and hang out, because now he's with Charlie Wilson. Can you believe he's hanging out with Charlie Wilson? And he's like, Wardell, this is so much fun. I'm having so much fun. And he says, I've been with, you know, Compunction for 20-something years, you know, so to do something else was just it's just a wonderful opportunity, you know. And he says, I'm enjoying it so much. It's just a beautiful level. It's a different concept for him. And he's enjoying being the bass player, you know. So, guys, come on and hear his story. It's an amazing story. And he's just so grateful. And he's looking forward to getting on here. We're going to play some of his music. All right, so come hang out with us tomorrow, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You're going to have a great time. And, Don, I want to thank you for your wonderful comments and stuff, and compliments. We learning from each other, though, and that's the beautifulness between, with us in what we do here at Solar Records Radio. Nobody's bigger than the next person. We all right together. We're learning because Don is the DJ. I'm trying to be like him, you know.
Stop. Go ahead. I wasn't trying to cut y'all. At the same time, we're not constrained to any type of corporate entity. Is authentic. All of this is genuine. And as far as putting this show on a different plateau, we're both working on some things right now. Wardell, definitely. It's just a matter of time before, this whole thing becomes worldwide. I mean, it's kind of worldwide now, but definitely making some things to make it better. And, man, stay tuned, Stay tuned. Like you said, it's only getting better from there.
So also I want you guys to be aware of is that, okay, we only have 9 minutes left. So I want you to be aware of next Wednesday, I will debut my new single for you, okay? And you should be able to get it early because it's going to only you guys. Only the listeners of Solar Records will be able to go and get the music earlier than when it's going to be released. It's going to be released on my dad's birthday, December the 8th. Okay? December the 8th. Not 1932, though, when my dad was born. December the 8th. And that's 2021. You could go and get the single, all right? And the name of the song is called Passion. I will debut it next week, next Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving, because I have so much to be thankful for. And I want to thank you guys for blessing us, hanging out with Don and myself and Phoenix and Greg and Astrid and just trusting us and Goldie Mac, and keep Goldie Mac in prayer because, like I told you, that's why you haven't heard too much from him. He's been hurt and he is trying to recover. So we want to just keep him in prayer. Like I told you, he slipped down the steps. And, when you mess with that back, boy, I tell you, it is the foundation. Like drums are the foundations of a band, the back is the foundations of your stability. If your back is out, man, you can't hardly do anything. So we want to pray for him that he gets back on his toes and get back here in the studio and do what he does, because he's so good at what he does, huh? What do you think about that, Don?
Hey,
Goldie is
Definitely sending prayers out to the funk brother himself. Hopefully get better, feel better. He is an amazing brother, man. And from my short time, getting a chance to know him, and one of the kindest people you're ever gonna ever talk to. So again, get better, brother, and we're pulling for you. And get back out there and play that funk music.
Play that funk
music. And give us that knowledge.
Yeah, come on, brother. Show us what you're working with. Anyway, guys, so we're about to get out of here. Don, is there anything you'd like to say in closing? Did you want to play the last song, or am I playing the last
song? You know what? I can play the last song if that's okay.
Absolutely.
You never know, because like I said, you're mixing it up and I try to, give a variety of things and whatnot. And I, it,
I was going to play a love song. I was going to play a love song about a rat. So, you know.
Oh my God.
Ben,
but no, I'm gonna close out something that you like. I'm gonna close out with something you like with a good friend of yours. I love this song for some reason. It's just a great song. We're gonna go ahead and close out with a little Stanley Clark featuring Howard Hewitt. The name of the song is called "Heaven Sent You." Don Fleming, Wardell Potts, you guys, we are out. You guys have a safe and prosperous rest of your Tuesday. We'll see you guys tomorrow, 3 to 5 p.m. Of course, Indie Jazz Wednesday. Well, today is Tuesday, right? Tomorrow is Indie Jazz Wednesday. So, we'll see you guys tomorrow. In the meantime, stay safe, guys. I am
trying to hurry up and get there.
Bye now.
Bye. Later, guys. Bye, Greg. All right, guys. God bless you. Father, please take care of our listeners. Keep them safe. You know what their situations are. Be a blessing for them in their situation. We love you much, and we thank you for this opportunity to be a blessing to your children. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, take care.